And those of you who weren't able to go to children's church, you get me. Woo! You are the winners. So you can affirm that at the end of the service with a connection card. As a church family, this year, 2017, we've been taking 365 days to read through the scriptures in chronological order. And then on Sundays, and this is week 16, we've been looking at individual stories of Bible characters to consider their place in God's story. Today we look at Jonathan and his place in God's story. And what we want to look at and find out about Jonathan is that he was a true friend. So Jonathan is an example for us of what it is to be a true friend, and that each of you and your children can find their place in God's story as a true friend. Now, the Greek philosopher Cicero said, "A friend is, as it were, a second self." And what he means by that is that if we find someone who really enjoys us as we enjoy them, it's like our hearts are knit together. And that was Jonathan and David. Their hearts were knit together. They were like twin brothers, so to speak, as friends in terms of the depth of their kinship. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes concerning friendship. He says, "A friend shows his friendship at all times. It is for adversity that such a brother is born." Not that a friend is a blood brother, but that a friend is a person who is born and lives and demonstrates a loyalty that is thicker than blood. "A friend shows his friendship at all times. It is for adversity that such a brother is born." Solomon also says, "Some friends pretend to be friends, but a true friend sticks closer than a brother." So this morning, as we think about the story of Jonathan, I need two young men to join me on the platform. Are there two young? Okay, one. You want to bring someone with you? Bring someone with you. Okay? And then I need one adult male on the platform, too. Is there an adult male that come and join us on the platform? You know someone? You go get him. All right. So need this mic on a second, Joe. And you can give us your names, okay?
Julius.
Marshot.
Grant.
Thank you, Grant. You're such a willing volunteer. I greatly appreciate it. You are loved. So for the purpose of the story today, the person, Jonathan's story, involves his father, Saul, and Saul is king. So for the purpose of today's illustration, Grant gets to be King Saul. Now, Grant, one of these young men is your son, Jonathan. Would you go ahead and identify which one of these is your son, Jonathan? All right, so this is Jonathan, and this other young man is David in the story of the scriptures. So we have Saul, who is king, Jonathan, who is the king's son, and then David. Now, in terms of human thinking, when we think of a king and a son, who is it that's the next king? The son. That would be you. Yeah, Jonathan. But in the story of the Bible, Jonathan's not the next king. God says David is going to be the next king. So in human terms, Would that make David and Jonathan friends or enemies? In human terms, it makes them enemies. The wonder of the story we're going to hear today from the Bible is that Jonathan and David are best friends. Even though Jonathan is not going to be king, David, his best friend, is going to be king. So let's look at the story of the Bible. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for helping out. Jonathan, the name Jonathan in Hebrew means Yahweh gives. Or Jonathan could mean gift of Yahweh. And Jonathan was indeed, his place in God's story is as a gift to David. This young man who would be king by right, descendant, firstborn son of King Saul, becomes a friend of David, who God has chosen to be the next king of Israel. And here's our proposition for today. You can be a true friend by following Jonathan's example in three ways. You can be a true friend by following Jonathan's example in three ways. Jonathan proved to be a friend to David, even though David was going to be king. Jonathan proved to be a true friend of David by standing with him. And you can be a true friend of others by standing with them in adversity, or standing with them, period. There are two times that King Saul, attempted to kill David by pinning him to the wall with the spear. David was in his presence. David was a musician. David was playing his harp, playing some music that he had composed. The king was listening, and the king took his spear and he threw it, trying to pin David to the wall. Why? Because King Saul did not want David to be king. He wanted his son Jonathan to be king, and Saul twice tried to kill David. Saul attempted to kill David by sending him into battle against the enemy. And now in 1 Samuel chapter 19 at verse 1, this is what the king says. King Saul brings Jonathan, his son, into his presence and all of his servants into his presence. And he tells them, here is my edict, kill David. This is the order of the king to his son and to his servants, kill David. And Jonathan proves to be a true friend of David by standing with David. First of all, he objects to his father. He says to his father, he says, do not do this wrong thing to your servant David. He has not done anything wrong to you. What he has done has been of a great benefit to you. Do not take his life. He has risked his life for you. Jonathan stood up for David in the presence of his father. And he stood with David even when the king was pursuing him to kill him. He stood with David in his time of trouble, in his adversity. He was no fair-weather friend. He would have been a foul-weather friend. He was there when the tough times came. We live in a day where we need true friends to stand up with others. Every 7 minutes in the United States, a child is bullied by somebody else. Maybe that they are hit in the face or kicked or punched and come home hurting and bruised. If not outwardly, inwardly, their heart is broken. Sometimes bullied children will want to skip school or miss the bus because they don't want to be there where they're bullied. In fact, 7% of eighth graders reported that they have skipped school or faked sickness on a monthly basis to avoid bullying. They avoid the trouble. Bullies sometimes take things from them. They might take their money. They might take their electronics. They might break their electronics. They might take their lunch. Sometimes it isn't the fist. Sometimes it's the words that are spoken. Bullies might exclude from play or from games or sports activities, just pass you by. And children who are bullied, the classmates who are bullied, need someone to be a friend. They need someone like Jonathan to speak up and tell a teacher. They may need someone to stand up and say, stop. They may need someone to invite another classmate. You eat with me today. You come and eat with me today at lunchtime. Or they may need someone in gym class or on the playground to say, you come, you play with me. You come and play with my friends. We can be a true friend by standing up with someone who's facing tough times, by facing someone who is being bullied. If you want more ideas on how to be a friend and stand up against bullying, there's a great website for parents and children that's called Pacer Kids Against Bullying. Pacer, P-A-C-E-R, Kids Against Bullying. All kinds of ideas on that page. So first of all, we can be a true friend by standing with others in adversity, or standing up with others when they're bullied, is another way to put it, just like Jonathan. Second way that Jonathan was a true friend was that he kept his word. Jonathan made a promise to David, and David made a promise to Jonathan, and both Jonathan and David kept their word, even though it cost them something. It cost Jonathan the throne. He said, I am going to be loyal to you because you are going to be king. My father intends to harm you, but I will protect you. I will warn you. I will let you know what he's thinking and what he's doing. And David promised Jonathan, I will always show kindness to your family, to you as long as you live, and to your children and grandchildren after you. When I am king, I will show your family kindness. And David got to keep his promise to Jonathan. After Jonathan had died in battle, and Saul had died in battle, and David was now king, David wanted to know, are there any descendants of my friend Jonathan? And they said, yes, there is one young man. His name is Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, when he was 5 years old, was dropped by his nurse fleeing the palace. And his injuries were so severe that he is crippled today. He can't walk. And so King David said, find Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was found, and he said to Mephibosheth, surely I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always be welcome at my table as a guest in the palace. David was a true friend as Jonathan was a true friend. Jonathan kept his promise to David, and David kept his promise to Jonathan. And you can be a true friend by keeping your promise to others. Thirdly, you can be a good friend by seeking God's best for others. Sometimes in friendships, we seek what's our best in the relationship. And so our friendships suffer because we say, put ourselves first. But Jonathan not merely put David first, he looked out for David in terms of seeking God's best for David. Jonathan recognized and he said in 1 Samuel 25 to David, he said, "You, David, will be king over Israel. This is what God has declared." A devoted friend is someone who loves God first and most. And Jonathan is that kind of friend to David. Because Jonathan loves God first and most, he is able to look out for God's best interest in David's life, even when it costs him, from human standpoints, his opportunity to be king after his father. He says, "Nope, God's will is that you be king. You will be king." And Jonathan looks out for David's best interest in God's eyes. So if you want to be a friend or look for friends, look for those who love God first and most. I want to wrap this up this morning, and I want to say this as we do. Friends like Jonathan are rare. Friends like Jonathan are rare. His place in God's story demonstrates the value of loyalty in friendships. It's important to realize that we cannot make somebody be our friend. We can't make somebody love us. We can't make somebody be kind to us. But we can be a friend to others. If I summarize, I'd say you can be a true friend by standing with others in adversity. You can be a true friend by keeping your word. You can be a true friend by seeking God's best for others. A story is told of two men who were traveling together in an airplane. They didn't have a problem with the stewards on this trip. They were with each other. One friend was napping. The other one was working on a crossword puzzle. And he got stuck. He had a word he couldn't figure out, so he woke his friend up. He elbowed him in the ribs, and he says to him, "I need a three-letter word. The middle letter is O, and it means man's best friend." And the friend said, "You woke me up for this? It's dog." So he put dog down. And then he started working on the across words. And dog didn't work. Man kept working at it. And finally he said, "Well, the middle letter is O, and the last word or last letter is D. Can you think of a three-letter word that means man's best friend, where the middle letter is O and the last word is D?" And they couldn't think of it. You got the answer? What is it? God! Wow, exactly. Man's best friend, a three-letter word beginning with G, ending with D. Say it together. God. We can't cause someone else to befriend us, but God has provided a friend in Jesus who will. Catch this. God, man's best friend, has provided us in Jesus a person who will stand with us in adversity. In fact, Paul writes, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" He stands with us in adversity. God has provided a friend in Jesus who will keep his promises. Jesus says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise. And God has provided us in Jesus a person who will seek our best. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay his life down for his friends." And that's what he did. In July 1941, at the Auschwitz prison camp, Sergeant Gajonchek had been selected at random by the Nazi guards to die. When the victim pleaded for his life so that he might see his wife and children again, a Franciscan priest stepped forward and offered to take the doomed man's place. Father Colby told the guards that he was alone in the world and that he would be willing to die instead of this sergeant. A few weeks later, Reverend Colby died from starvation and a dose of poison. Gajonchek survived the rigors of Auschwitz, was reunited with his loved ones at the end of the war. And in 1972, he gathered with 150,000 other men and women between the barracks and the crematories at Auschwitz to honor a man who gave his life that he might live. Gajonchek said, "I want to express my thanks today for the gift of life I received. Father Maximilian Colby is to be honored as a hero. He gave his life for me." Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus has done for us. The scripture says in Romans 5 at verse 8, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm going to close with a prayer that enables us to make Jesus our friend. And if you'd like to pray that prayer, you're welcome to pray it. And then we'll go to worship in song. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a friend of sinners. Thank you for laying down your life for me so that I can know forgiveness of sin and a second chance at life. I want to know the fullness of life as you intend. I want to know and enjoy you both now and forever. Today I accept you as my friend, my Savior, my Lord, and my King. Amen.